I'm Kelly Beattie, Sky and Telescope's executive editor, and tonight we're going on a tour of the planets and stars that you'll see overhead during June. As a rule, stargazers crave darkness. Nothing gets our juices flowing quite like a wide-open canopy of stars set like diamonds on black velvet. We grumble a lot about light pollution, and we'll go out of our way, sometimes hundreds of miles, to view the Milky Way in all its pristine glory. I still get a rush every time I step out under a pitch-black sky. But I've also come to appreciate those special times when day gives way to night and vice versa. That's twilight time. At day's end, I look for the Belt of Venus. That's a sandwich of deep, rich purples and pinks that looms over the eastern horizon as Earth casts its shadow into the sky. Then I'll strain to see how soon I can first see Venus or some bright star. I don't exactly mumble, "Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight," but the timing of those early onsets are good indicators of my sky's clarity. So, I hope you're hearing this early in June, because a special treat awaits you in the western sky just after sunset. You've got a chance to see four planets in the sky at the same time. You won't have to stay out all that late to see them, but you will need a clear shot at both the western and eastern horizons. So scout around for a wide open space, grab the bug spray, and let's get going. In early June, the sun sets around 8 o'clock, and the first thing you'll see coming into view, above the western horizon, and maybe even before the sun sets, is brilliant Venus. Now, I could tell you to look for it about a third of the way up from straight ahead to straight overhead, but I suspect you don't need my help to find it. If you could peek at this planet through a telescope, you'd see that it's a tiny half circle of light, like a miniature first quarter moon. But to your eyes alone, it's simply a dazzling, star-like point of light. Venus becomes visible long before any stars pop into view, and for those of us in the US, Canada, and Europe, it's positioned almost due west as it gets dark. By 30 minutes after the sun disappears, you should be able to make out a few other stars. Here's where the clear view of the western horizon becomes important. To the lower left of Venus, separated from it by about twice the width of your fist at arm's length, is the star Procyon. That's in Canis Minor, the little dog, and it's the very last vestige of winter's parade of bright constellations. But to the lower right of Venus, just as far away from Procyon and just about as bright, is another sparkler. Yet that's not a star at all, it's the planet Mercury. On June 1st, Mercury is as far from the sun in the sky as it ever gets. So if you've never seen the innermost planet of our solar system, here's your big chance. From night to night, Mercury will sink a little closer to the horizon and get a bit dimmer. Unless you have a really exceptional view toward the west, Mercury will dip from view by mid-month, and your next chance to see it won't come until mid-July, and that'll be in the east, before dawn, at about 4:30 a.m. Now, would you rather drag yourself out of a sound sleep to see Mercury then, or take it in right now after supper? I thought so. Now, return to Venus and shift your view toward upper left. Stop when you reach a medium bright star about two-fifths away. Once again, you've hit planet Paydirt. That's Saturn, which is nearing the end of a grand east-to-west trek across the evening sky caused by Earth's motion around the Sun. If you watch carefully, the gap between Saturn and Venus will gradually close as the month goes on, and both will start to edge closer to the western horizon. So far, you've bagged three planets in quick succession. But I promised you a fourth, and to see it, you'll need to wheel around so you're facing directly away from where the sun set. By 8:30 or 9, you should spy a bright, steady beacon down low. Mighty Jupiter, the king of planets, is making his grand seasonal entrance. On June 5th, Jupiter is at what astronomers call opposition, the point in the sky opposite the sun. Each night thereafter, it'll creep a little higher up as darkness falls. By September, it'll have moved over to the western sky to roughly where Saturn and Venus are now. Speaking of which, glance over at Venus and Saturn again, then draw an imaginary line between them and arc it leftward across the sky to Jupiter. You've just traced out the ecliptic, the path through the stars along which the planets and sun travel throughout the year. And the constellations straddling the ecliptic are all part of the zodiac. As June opens, Mercury is in Gemini, Venus is in Cancer, and Saturn's in Leo. Then that imaginary line passes through Virgo, Libra, and Scorpius before it gets to Jupiter. Jupiter is currently in the constellation Ophiuchus, the serpent bearer. Now, the last time I checked, Ophiuchus was not one of the 12 signs of the zodiac. This is actually a 13th zodiacal constellation. That's because within the last century, astronomers changed the boundary of Ophiuchus such that it now straddles the ecliptic. I've got two more treats to tell you about before I close. The first comes on the evening of June 18th, when a pretty crescent moon will be sandwiched between Saturn and Venus in the western evening sky. But if you miss that, you'll really want to wish for clear skies on June 30th. On that evening, Venus and Saturn will have edged so close together that you'll be able to cover them both up with the tip of your little finger. Grab a telescope that night if you can. In the eyepiece, you'll see a brilliant little crescent of light, that'll be Venus, next to Saturn and its beautiful rings. But Saturn will look much dimmer, and no wonder. It's almost 13 times farther from the Sun than Venus is, so the sunlight shining on Saturn is only 1/160th as bright. And speaking of the Sun, it reaches its June solstice at 2:06 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on June 21st. This will be the longest day of the year for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, and as far as I'm concerned, it's all downhill from there. For more sky watching tips, visit skyandtelescope.com. Next month, I'll show you how to track down the scorpion in the sky, or how to stay clear of it, depending on your point of view. Until then, I wish you clear skies.